Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local preacher here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast, 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel Number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also want to welcome you to our website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find all these MP3 files of our radio program. Our Bible videos of our television show are out there, and also a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open mind, an open Bible. Let us show you a need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your salvation. We have been examining for the past few months the writings and the teachings of the Apostle Peter. We are in chapter number 2, and we are looking at verse 13 through 20. Last week, we finished up looking at verses 13 through 17 in examining our duty as members of God's kingdom to civil government. Today, we want to begin to examine the last part of this text, and that is slaves to masters. We begin in verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good, to the gentle, but also to the harsh. But this is commendable if, because of the conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now again, we want to talk about masters and slaves. Submission is demanded of Christians who were slaves, even though their condition might vary tremendously. Now, in the first century, there were the slave and master relationship. Just like at one time in our country, we had this relationship too. And again, we're not talking about the right or wrong of slavery, because even if slavery was right, it has to be handled in an honorable way. And very obviously, in the period of our country, it was not handled in an honorable way. Slaves were treated as property in most cases and were mistreated, and their families were misused, and their families were torn apart. And so we're not talking about when it's not carried out in the way that God would have it. But we are talking about that if a person found himself in that situation as a slave and a master, that they had a responsibility, and even under conditions that were less than favorable. Various causes of slavery, you could be born into it, a prisoner of war, or it might be a debt you were cast in because you failed to pay a debt. Domestic slaves considered here primarily. In this text, we're primarily considering the domestic slave. Obedience is expected of Christians regardless of what condition they or situation they may find themselves in. They are to be first true and faithful to God. Servants, house servants, this is probably the meaning in this text. Thayer says, one who lives in the house with another, spoken of all who are under the authority of one of the same householder. Be submissive. Bring yourself under direction of the one who has authority over you. In this case, it is the master. Slaves should be subject to their master. Not now, because slavery is by divine ordinance, but because it is reality that Christians are in no position to set aside. Among themselves, they can and should set it aside as member of one family or of God. Masters. A master is a lord, one who has complete authority over those who are his servants, as owner and rightful lord. The gospel did not restructure or reorder society, but taught each person how to behave themselves because he is a servant of the Lord. And that's what we have to remember. Even a slave would have to remember, if he was a servant of the Lord, he had a responsibility by God to be a good slave, to be a faithful slave. and to be obedient to his master, and it was not based on the condition or on how he was treated. He was to be faithful. He was to be obedient and submissive to those who had the rule over him. Fear, that means respect, that means reverence. Fear for God, fear of the master. In Colossians 3 and verse number 22, we read, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. For whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong that he's done, and there is no partiality." And again, we are required by God to be faithful in every situation or every situation our lives may find ourselves in. We are to excel, those excelling in any respect pertaining to the character. This pertains to our character. Now, we may have gentle treatment, equitable, fair, considerate, mild towards his house servants. But you might have one that's harsh, curved, crooked, tyranny, unjust masters, inconsiderate, harsh, perverse, unfair, and abrasive. That might be the master that you're under. But in either way, our duty as a Christian is the same, regardless of what condition or the treatment that we receive from our master. The modern applications to us is the employer-employee relation, trade unions, restrictive practices, closed shops, lockouts, government-imposed wage settlements, etc. The greatest example of a Christian is when he suffers for doing good. Christ did this when he illustrated this, and that will be part of our next lesson when we talk about the example of Christ in chapter 21 through 25, and we will get to that hopefully in the next few weeks. But notice what verse 19 says, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief and suffering wrongfully." It is an honorable thing according to God. It's commendable. Goodwill, loving kindness, favor. In this verse, God says it is a benefit. That is, a service rendered under difficult, abusive circumstances is rewarded by God with kindness and favor. No commendation for suffering when we have done wrong. You deserved it. That's what you did. You violated the law. You violated your responsibility. And if there's punishment coming, then you are deserving of it, and you should accept it. No extra credit for those who love them. Do good to those who do good to them. That is a waste of time. Let me tell you, that's not my understanding. Listen to the Lord himself in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse number 32. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse number 32. "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, for what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back." Again, what these verses tell us in Luke chapter 6, that if we just do good to those who do good to us, we haven't done anything extraordinary. But we've done something commendable to God if we are faithful under unrighteous conditions, under conditions that are less than favorable. There's no commendation for suffering for wrong behavior. We deserve that. But there is a commendation and commendable spirit for those who are faithful under less than honorable conditions. Several possible meanings here. It is a gracious act. It is an act deserving of gratitude. It's an act that brings God's favor. The most probable is that our action brings God's favor. Conscience, that means together. It's a joint knowledge. Vine says, signifies a conscience, or perhaps here a consciousness, so controlled by the apprehension of God's presence that the person realizes that griefs are to be borne in accordance with his will. Sometimes we suffer for doing the right thing. Sorrow, pain, grief, objectively, annoyance, and affection. Hear the sorrow that comes from unjust treatment. And we are to receive it. We don't have to like it. We're not saying it's fair We're not saying it's honorable. But as Christians, we ought to suffer the wrong in order to exemplify Christ. The principle is to undergo evil, be afflicted. Here the suffering for doing right is undeserved, and yet it's suffering. First here in 1 Peter, but we can read this in a number of places of Acts, suffering is a major theme of the book of 1 Peter. Men will suffer for doing the right thing. That's going to happen. Wrongfully, that means that we suffer unjustly, undeservingly. Without fault, we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything that was worthy of being subjected to ill treatment. And so we must continue to be faithful. Well, for what credit is it if you are beaten for your fault, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, and you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Credit is glory, a good report of fame, derived from the root word meaning good reputation. Faults are sins. One is supposed to suffer for his own sin. He cannot receive praise when he's punished for doing wrong. He's beaten signifies to strike with clenched fists, a fist or hands, to buffet with their fists. Again, but it denotes a contrast between what was just said and what followed. We take it patiently, to abide under, to bear up, courageously, to have courage, to not become passive, do good. That means to do the right thing. Here, it is a Christian behavior, especially because what is done is obedience to God. He suffers for doing what's right. He suffers for being faithful to God, and that's a commendable thing. Even though he's mistreated, even though he's treated harshly and unfair, when he's faithful to God, he exemplifies the best example and upholds the Christianity and love that he has for God, and that is a commendable thing according to God. And so, in conclusion this morning, Christians are commanded to be useful, obedient, submissive citizens to their government to the degree that is possible. Inherently right, governance from God. We read that in Romans 13. It's morally right. We read that in Romans 13. It is good for one's own self-preservation. Verse 5 of chapter 13 told us that. And it's good for conscience sake in chapter Romans 13 and verse number 5. And so in 1 Peter, the argument is that we should be done to offset the ill reputation caused by evildoers and by the ignorance of foolish men. Such is for the Lord's sake, verse 13. Such is compatible with the Christian calling, 1 Peter 2:16. It's typical for the love of God and man found in any true religion that we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, Matthew 22:37-29. Even slaves must be obedient to their earthly masters. We read this in chapter 1, verse 18-20. For one's own conscience sake towards God, to be an example of Christ himself, bearing patiently while suffering for doing good. Even in an adverse situation, we are to be faithful to the best of our ability in order that we put Christianity in the most favorable light. Our submission to men and submission to authorities over us does not violate any duty given to God, but rebellion, insurrectionists, to be unfaithful, to be disobedient, that casts Christianity in a less than favorable light. That will not be commended by God. That will be rejected. And so in closing, we must be good law-abiding citizens to exemplify what it means to be a Christian and a member of the body of Christ. Thank you. Have a good day.